This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wa mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Fa nas'alullah ta'ala an yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Wa nas'aluhu bi'ilmin nafi' wa rizqin wasi' wa alihi natawakkal wa alihi natawakkal wa ilayhi al-masir wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyi al-'azim. Wa qala ta'ala إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Praise be to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His forgiveness, guidance, and His mercy. We ask Allah to forgive us, to have mercy on us. We ask Him for useful knowledge and beneficial knowledge and wide sustenance. We depend utterly on Allah, and to Him is our goal. We send peace and prayers on His final message, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last time we covered in some detail Ghazwatu Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, and beyond. But really, mostly that. So, you'll have to excuse me. I've strained my back, so if I'm shifty and moving around, wondering why. Because of that. So this week we'll carry on, inshallah, from that. But I didn't want to finish with it because what we didn't get chance to do last time was to actually go through the ayat in the Quran. If you remember from the first couple of sessions when we started Fiqh Sirah last year, we said that the sources are not just seerah books, but a hadith, especially authentic hadith, but before that, even the Quran. And Ghazwatu Uhud, there's plenty in the Quran. So it's important to reflect on that. So I'm going to take us through majority of the ayat in Surah Al Imran to do with Ghazwatu Uhud. And there are a few ayat which are in Surah An-Nahl. Surah An-Nahl is a Makki surah actually, but the last two or three ayat in this Makki surah are Madni. These were revealed, Professor Ulama say, they were revealed after Ghazwatu Uhud. And I mentioned them last time, well, I didn't mention it correctly last time, but this was in relation to, if you remember, at the end of the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan calling out up the mountain saying that my people have mutilated the ones killed on the side of the Muslims, the Shuhada, cut off their noses and ears. He said, I didn't order it, but I'm not saddened by it. And the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba came and found the dead and killed, and Hamza radiallahu anhu and all the others. Of course, they were very upset. And the Prophet ﷺ made like a promise, saying, if Allah and Allah gives us the upper hand over them, we will do much worse to them than this, in regards to mutilation, for example. Yeah, remember, we mentioned that last time. And that opportunity came at Fatu Mecca. Yeah. You could imply that meant taking revenge on them, killing them, as well as the mutilation. Because 70 shuhada, yeah, and only 20 odd, we said, from the Mushrik Quraysh had been killed in Uhud. So doing worse to them can include not just mutilation, but actually getting back when the opportunity comes with the upper hand. And that's what they were expecting. When we come to Fatu Mecca, you'll see that the Mushriks of Mecca were expecting exactly that. But because Allah SWT revealed after Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in relation to that, the saying of the Prophet said, and that verse, those verses come at the end of Surah Al-Nahl, verse 126 onwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. And if you take retribution to punish them back again, then punish them بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ, in the same level or manner that they did to you. Because remember, the Prophet said, we'll do worse to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, justice requires that you do the same level, not do worse to them. فَعَاقِبُوا مِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started, and this is the beauty of Deen and Islam and the example of Rasulullah, وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ, but if you are patient instead, لَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ, then indeed that is best for those who have sabr. لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, and then carrying on. So be patient and steadfast. Be patient and steadfast. And your patience is only for Allah. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْكٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ, and do not grieve yourself over them. And when you're being patient, sometimes, often people, Muslims think, oh, well, me being patient, they get away with everything. Yeah? We're trustworthy and we're truthful, well, they deceive us all the time. No, still Allah's saying, no, you stay like that still. Not that you say, oh, well, they're deceived, so we'll deceive as well. They lie and cheat, we'll lie and cheat with them as well. No, not at all. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُوا فِي دَيْكٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. And here, and don't be, daik means like tight space, but this is talking about tightness inside. So don't be fearful and worried about what they are planning and plotting. So look how sabr comes, because there's a fear and there's a worry constantly, they're going to do this, do that, and then to have sabr requires strength of character, doesn't it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they're thinking. So Allah's saying, even though you feel that, yeah, don't let that bother you. Don't be those who are constantly at worry. Because Allah's there. Because Allah says after that, look, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَأَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Surely Allah is with those. If Allah's with you, then you don't need to feel like. And that's Iman, isn't it? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَأَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Surely Allah is with those who have taqwa. It is taqwa that will give you that control of sabr. That's where it's linked with. I said it's with Iman. So taqwa is, Allah is with those who have taqwa. In other words, your taqwa, your fear of Him, your awe of Him, and your awareness of Him will help you with the sabr. Yeah. And Allah is with those who are like that. So what else do you need when Allah is with you? Allah, glory be to Him. And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ, and with those who are muhsinun, those who do ihsan. Yeah? Muhsinun here, that people do bad and you do good instead. So because of these ayat, the Prophet ﷺ said, نَحْنُ نَصْبِرْ, we will have patience instead. So he didn't do to them in return, yeah, what they did to them at Uhud. So these are ayat in Surah An-Nahl to do with post Ghazwa to Uhud. And coming back to Ayat, when you go back, it's primarily, there's some Ayat in between which are not from post Ghazwa to Uhud, but primarily they start from verse 121. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Sorry, the ayah before that. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَائِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and remember when you went forth from your homes at the early morning, early dawn, meaning to the Battle of Uhud. Yeah? When you went from the early morning and placed the believers in their arrangements, in their battle arrays. The archers, remember, and all the rest, how the Prophet arranged them. Surely Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. So these ayat come afterwards to remind what happened, to give lessons from what happened. Yeah. And إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَةُ. And recall when two groups from among you were inclined to flag. طَائِفَةً مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَ. To go back, actually. And this, Imam Bukhari mentioned in the hadith, authentic in this regard to this verse, I mentioned it before as well, that this were not the munafiqs who left. Remember, 300 left to Abdullah ibn Ubay. But from the others who were there as well, there were some, Banu Salma from the Khazraj and Banu Haritha from the Aus, from the Ansar. There were some groups amongst those two groups, these are Ta'ifatan, two groups, two tribes from amongst the Ansar. They were having second thoughts. So Allah's reminding them, yeah? إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ. That I recall when two groups from among you were inclined to go back, although Allah was their protector. It is Allah that the believers should put their trust. It is in Allah that the believers should put their trust. So now a lesson is being taught them that you should have trusted in Allah. Allah actually made them, give them iman and thabat, so they stayed. Yeah, but Allah's teaching them lessons for the future. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Remember that Allah gave you victory at Badr, and you were weak then. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ means, well, there was only 300 of you. You were so poorly armed, etc. We know Badr because we went through it. So Allah's not reminding them. Yeah? But Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Have taqwa in Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So perhaps that you may be thankful. Because of the victory Allah gave you despite the situation you were in. So Allah reminding them of the favor because they faced defeat or hardship in Uhud. So Allah reminding them what happened just before. Have you forgotten? Yeah. Don't become ungrateful. And don't forget what's just happened. إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ. And recall when you said to the believers, will it not be enough for you or suffice you that your Lord will aid you by sending down 3,000 angels?
بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ.
If you are steadfast and mindful and have taqwa in Allah, even though the enemy should suddenly fall upon you, your Lord will help you and support you with 5,000 marked angels. I mean marked, ready for battle. Mufassirun, from the ulama, from Sahaba and Tabi'in, they differ in these two ayat about the angels. Some say they're linked with following on from the previous ayah of Badr, where we clearly mentioned the angels there were there to support and help them. So some of them say these 3,000 and 5,000 were to do with Badr. Other Mufassirun say, no, they're to do with Uhud. Allah promised the angels, but with a condition. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you, all of you, have sabr and steadfast and have fear and awe of Allah, then He'll give you them. But these ulama said, they failed in that, didn't they? They failed to disobey the Messenger of Allah as a group and the ranks broke. So they didn't get the aid. They didn't get the ayah. So this is a difference of opinion amongst ulama about these two ayah. Are they to do with Badr or are they to do with Uhud? And either is possible. Then Allah SWT carries on. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ نَسْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ Allah SWT is saying, so Allah has reminded you of this as a glad tiding to you, and let your hearts be at rest. Help can only come from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah's mentioning this. That's indicating, Allah's mentioning this, what the conditions of victory are, and to remind you that victory can happen, to give you itminan in your hearts, that if you have taqwa and sabr, Allah will give you victory in the end. Yeah? So don't think that it's all over and you're finished. Yeah. So it's to give you glad tidings, what the conditions are, and the fact that Allah did give you victory. And Allah is all powerful, all wise. لِيَقْطَعَ طَرَفًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْ يَكْبِتَهُمْ فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided that aid in order that He may cut asunder, cut off a part of those who disbelieved and frustrate them. Yeah, humiliate them so that they retreat in utter disappointment. An utter disappointment. And this, because actually, they could have finished it all off then. And we mentioned it when we did Ghazwat Uhud last time. Abu Sufyan, they could have gone on to Medina and completely annihilated, but they went away. And actually they went away in humiliation because they didn't finish off the job. The humiliation continued, if you remember, immediately the next day after Ghazwat Uhud, part of Uhud battle is Hamr al-Asad. Hamr al-Asad, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I mentioned it last time, after coming back to Medina, sleeping the night, the next day early, he went with 70 Sahaba, and the condition was only those who fought at Uhud the day before, injured, limp, in pain, carrying their injuries, fresh wounds, bleeding, etc., they're the ones who went, again, pursuing the enemy in case they changed their mind, Abu Sufyan and the 3,000 mushriks, to come back and attack Medina. And they were planning to change their mind, if you look at the seerah writing. They were thinking of that. So this is, and in the end, when they were informed that the Prophet and his companions, instead of retreating and hiding and injured, lying lame there, they were actually coming after them. So that put the fear in them instead. Yeah. So actually they went away with empty-handed. فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ خَائِبِين also means they went away without achieving what they actually came out to do. Remember? And they came out to attack Medina to annihilate the Muslims and kill the Prophet ﷺ. So that's Allah's want to say, despite the seeming victory and you losing so many and them, look, actually they went away خَائِبِين, they went empty-handed. That's good news again, isn't it? Reminder to the believers, actually don't think it's all over. Because some thought that actually, from the Sahaba. They thought it's all over. Yeah, we've been finished. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُؤَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ This is nothing to do with you. Whether he forgives them or turns to them in repentance, meaning Allah, or whether he punishes them, for surely they are indeed wrongdoers. When did this ayah come? Told you last time on before. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ This is when the Prophet ﷺ, many ahadith came, when he got injured, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't he? Got injured, the helmet is cut in half, his blood's dripping from his head cut, his tooth is broken, and the helmet's stuck in his jaw, so he's in pain. Injured, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, how can a people prosper or be successful who injure their Prophet. Other ahadith mention of Fajr in the last rakah he was doing in Qunut, linked with this as well. And he was saying, curse on this enemy, curse on the enemy who come into attack again. Mentioning three or four of the leading mushriks who were most evil ones. So other ahadith mentioned that and this situation. And then the Prophet says, and when he said that, how can these people prosper who injure their Prophet? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is nothing to do with you. Laysa laka min al-amri shay. If he decides Allah to return to them in repentance or punish them. But what does he say after that? فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Agreeing with the Messenger of Allah, for surely they are wrongdoers. But can wrongdoers change and become good? That's what Allah say. And actually, isn't that what happened? Majority of these standing at Uhud, remember only 20 odd are the one who killed at the hands of the believers. Yeah, majority became believers, didn't they? So Allah did turn to them in repentance, and others He punished. So here, and that's why when this ayah was revealed at that instant, the Prophet ﷺ changed his statement. What did he start saying? Allahumma ghfir liqawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamoon. Oh Allah, forgive my people, for they do not know. They're not aware of what they're doing. They're ignorant. Look at that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look at not just insult and things, they're actually physically trying to kill him. That was the announcement going on, wasn't it? He's been killed. Yeah. When Ibn Qamiha from the Quraysh mushriks, one of their chivalrous fighters, injured the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some of the riwayah mentioned that he came back and he said, "We've killed," and he informed the mushrik, "We've killed him, killed Muhammad." And an announcement was going around, and the Sahaba thought he'd been killed as well. So they were trying to kill him for sure. Yeah. That the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma ghfir liqawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. So that's laysa laka min al-amri shay'in, particularly that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look. Wa lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard yaghfiru liman yasha'u wa yu'adhibu man yasha'u. So powerful. Following on that from Allah Ta'ala, and to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. Who are we talking about? Glory be to Him, and His. All majesty is His. Yeah. Look how the ayah follows to show who's in control. Not even the Messenger of Allah. It's Allah who's in control. It's to Allah belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. Allah saying this to the Messenger of Allah, to His Messenger, and in turn to us. Yeah? In other words, everything's in His control anyway. يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. He forgives whomever He wills. Yeah? So the ones you see as the worst and the most horrible, as nowadays we Muslims become so judgmental. Yeah? We send everybody to hellfire. But Allah forgives whomever He wills, and we don't know who that is. Yeah? And He punishes whomever He wills. And it could be from the believers who think they've got a ticket to Jannah. Never become complacent like that. That's the meaning. وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. How often does that come in the Quran again and again, doesn't it? But surely Allah is غَفُور. Yeah, full of forgiveness. Yeah, and full of mercy. Yeah. Full of forgiveness and full of mercy. Yeah, and these some ayats come then, which are not linked with Uhud. If we go further on, the Uhud ayats start again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Many are the nations who have passed before you. Fasiru fil ard, so travel in the land and see and behold the end of those who were mukazzibin, those rejectors. historically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, this is what happens in the end. If you think, if you want hope, see what happens to a rejectors in the end. This is not the decisive battle won that you've lost. So don't think it's all over. Yeah? Don't become so full of despair, disheartened. The reality, what happens in the end, is that see what happened in history. In other words, with previous prophets. That's what the Prophet is being told in the Sahaba. All the previous prophets, those who rejected and those who fought them, what was their end? That's what Allah started to say. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْتُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ All those who rejected, they perished. They were destroyed. Nothing left of them in the end. هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَمَوْعِظَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ This is بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ, a plain message for humanity. The Quran, the message, this is plain message for humanity. وَهُدًى وَمَوْعِظَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And a guidance. And it is an admonition and an argument for those who have taqwa. For those who are full of iman and taqwa, it is a guidance for them. In other words, for those who accept it as so. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ And do not fear. Yeah? Do not lose heart. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا And do not grieve and become sad after Uhud. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ You will indeed be with the ones who have the upper hand in the end. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ What's the condition if you are really true believers? إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ If indeed a wound or a pain or suffering has touched you, then a similar pain and suffering, a wound, has touched the others. Meaning, if that's happened to you, Uhud, have you forgotten it happened to them at Badr as well? You inflicted the same on them. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ These are the vicissitudes of time, or these are the days of one having victory upper hand, the other then having the victory on the upper hand that goes around with human beings. However, there's a difference. Yeah, there's a difference. Because Abu Sufyan said similar, didn't he? He said, yeah, this is one for the other, and this is how it is in life. Sometimes one wins, sometimes the others win. But the real winning isn't that, is it? He saw that as the success. Yeah? Because he's looking in worldly terms. Allah's not saying that. It's not the same what Abu Sufyan said. There's a distinct difference. Yeah. It's Allah's showing that, yeah, you can have victory and defeat on in the worldly sense. Why? However, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ So even when defeat comes, this trial and test is for what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying so that Allah can make it clear those who are true believers. So Allah can make it known those who are true believers and take from them shuhada, martyrs. You see, one side sees it as death, yeah, absolute disaster, nothing come out of it. The other side sees it as martyrdom, which is a totally different ball game. Totally different. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though in the face of it looks like defeat, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking shuhada from you instead. Shuhada. And what is the status and maqam of shuhada? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How can you compare? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the bushra.
وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Stressing again, if you think in the worldly terms of defeat, Allah is telling you, don't think that they're getting the victory and it's all over for you, because Allah in the end does not love wrongdoers and oppressors, which is the enemy. Because they're being given victory doesn't mean Allah loves them. Because this is not the end. So Allah is reiterating for the believers and the Sahaba to fill them with iman. No, wallahu la yuhibbu zalimeen. Never. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Why this happened? So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He can purge the believers, remove nifaq, weakness, doubt from them, yeah, by testing them with facing death and giving their life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purges them from their weaknesses and cowardice and take them to a different level of iman. Yeah, when they have to face such trial. وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ, so that He can completely annihilate and obliterate the disbelievers. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think then you will enter paradise when Allah has without Allah making it known, in other words, Allah, without Allah testing to see which one of you are those who strive from amongst you, meaning do jihad in Allah's way, and those who are steadfast and full of patience. In other words, this is your trial to see. Am hasibtum? Do you think, many parts in the Quran it comes, hasib, Surah beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, حسب الذين آمنوا أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا حسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فلا يعلمن الله الذين آمنوا ولا يعلمن الكافرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that says, do people think that they'll be left alone when they've said we believe and that they'll not be tested? Paradise, it comes after trial and test. Yeah? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنْ. Surely Allah tested those before you to see which of them were truthful to that pledge of we believe and which of them وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ, actually it says. And those who were liars. So it was a false attestation to, oh, we're Muslim. But the reality of test of trial of Muslim comes through trial, doesn't it? It's when the crunch comes, when you have to follow the just and the right, and it's against you, not in your favor, that's when you're tested. Are you really a believer? Did you really trust in Allah? Did you follow what Allah said, or did you follow your own desire? Isn't it? We're all tested like that. Not just in battle, but in everyday life, brothers and sisters. And again, in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Baqarah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think that you will enter paradise when the like of which came to those before you has not come to you? مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Yeah, they were inflicted with ba's means all kinds of calamity and loss. وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Yeah. وَزُلْزِلُوا. And they were shaken up like an earthquake. That was part of their trial. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Until the messenger who was and those who were with him cried out, when will the help of Allah come? That's how much they were shaken up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the ayah says, Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Behold, surely the help of Allah is so near. Is so near. Because the help comes in different ways. Not just victory at Badr. The help is there even at Uhud, as he's taking shuhada from you. And shuhada straight to Jannah. Shuhada straight to Jannah. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you previously longed for death. Yeah? You really wished for it. Yeah? أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ. And now that you have faced it, yeah, you're looking at it, meaning you're looking at it with your own eyes when you're observing it in a fearful manner. And what does that mean? Who was wishing for death? In regards to Uhud. Remember when the Prophet ﷺ took Mashura? When he found that the Quraysh were coming to attack Medina, what was majority of the young and those who were full of saying, let's go out, saying we want martyrdom, etc. And when it came face to face with death, it wasn't that easy. That's what Allah's saying. Yeah. So wishes are not the same as when you face it. You were full of all these, yeah, come on, Ya Rasul, let's go out there, we'll want martyrdom. And then when death came to them, as you'll see, what happened when they turned on them, they were running in the other direction. Sahaba, yes, Sahaba. It's not that simple and easy to face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Yeah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, never wish or to want to meet the enemy in battle. You don't wish for hardships on yourself. You don't make du'as like that. And then, what time is the adhan for Maghrib?
51.
Okay. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَأَيِّمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And Muhammad is no more than a messenger, and messengers have died and passed away before him. Then, if he were to die or be killed, will you turn back on your heels? Surely whoever turns back on their heels can in no way harm Allah, and for the grateful ones, Allah will soon reward them. Why was this verse revealed? Oh, those who were here in the last lesson, I mentioned it. What's the announcement going around? That he's been killed. And when that happened, what happened to Sahaba? Many gave up, didn't they? Some hadith mentioned, and some riwayah, not as authentic, that even Umar sat there with his sword, just sat to one side of the mount, and somebody like Anas ibn Nadr, I mentioned his story last time, came and said, what's the matter with you lot? Why? Oh, the Prophet is dead, there's no point fighting anymore. So he said, well, he's done his job, he's passed the message on, now, shall we not die for what he died for? This is Anas ibn Nadr. Yeah? Ansari, remember, who was found with more than 70 lance and sword wounds in him afterwards. And he, the one who said, I smelled the fragrance of paradise up ahead. And it was only his sister who recognized him for a birthmark on his little finger, because they couldn't recognize him otherwise. Radiallahu anhu. Yeah. So that's what happened with them. Yeah. And other Sahaba who were running in all directions because those who'd given up. So this ayah came afterwards to remind them remind them, you don't give up. You don't give up because the Messenger of Allah. Also telling them that one day the Messenger of Allah is going to die, isn't it? That's what it's telling them, isn't it? Because he didn't die there, but the message is there. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ أَنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Will you then turn back on your heels if he's killed or he dies? And this specific thing, when the Prophet actually died, Aisha radiallahu anha, it will come later in the seerah, but in relation to this verse, we have to mention it, that she said her father, Abu Bakr, came when the Prophet ﷺ went in her apartment, died, and he came and he removed the covering and kissed the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Allah will not give you two deaths, and the one death you're going to have, you've gone through it. And then he came out, and of course there's a hoo-ha going on, the hoo-ha's all surrounding Umar, radiallahu anhu ajma'een. Because he's saying, anybody who says that Muhammad is dead, my sword is out, I'm going to chop their heads off. This is all hoo-ha going on. And Abu Bakr came out and said, Umar, sit down. Umar reports this afterwards himself. As Umar, just sit down. In other words, sit down and be quiet. But Umar wouldn't listen. So then, what did Abu Bakr do? Abu Bakr said, after saying, Alhamdulillah, amma ba'd, he goes, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمُ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And the Sahaba, including Umar, they report in authentic, they said, Umar says, I've never heard that ayah before. But they knew it was revealed after Uhud. But it had gone beyond. Umar says, it's as if I heard it for the first time. He'd forgotten. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had the wisdom. When he recited that, the hadith mentioned that the Sahaba left Umar, all came to Abu Bakr to listen to him instead. They just left him. Yeah, and Sahaba, in 10s and 20s, and they took this ayah and they were reciting it for a long time, for days after, to remind themselves. Yeah, are you going to turn back on your heels? And Abu Bakr followed it up. He said, whoever worshipped Muhammad, faqad mat. He's died. But Allah is ever living and eternal and never dies. SubhanAllah. Yeah. So this is the ayah he recited at the time to remind them, yeah, to not go back on their heels. Because in the end, going back on their heels, لَنْ يَدُرَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَسَنَجْزِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah SWT says, it is not given to any soul to die except by the will of Allah. In other words, when Allah wills it, they will die. Yeah? Kitab al-Mu'ajjala, at the appointed time that is written, whoever wishes for the rewards of this world, Allah said, we will give from it. Not we will give all of it. We will give from it whatever Allah decides. However, whoever wishes and desires the rewards of the hereafter, we will give from that. For surely we reward with good those who are grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after mentioning death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين. Allah SWT says in this ayah, and how many prophets have there been before on whose side fought a large number of ribbiyun? Ribbiyun from Rabb, those who are devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's also known in the Quran, Rabbaniyun as well. The ribbiyun here, Mufassirun said, those linked with Rabb, those who are devoted to God, real believers. In one of the recitals, instead of saying those who fought with him, with the Prophet, قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ, it's recited as قُتِلَ مَعَهُ. Instead of they fought with the Prophet, they were killed with the Prophet. Okay, not one of the recitals. And remember, there's various recitals. Ibn Jarir, for example, At-Tabari Tafsir, he prefers that recital. But both recitals are there, قَاتَلَ and قُتِلَ. Many of those who were godly were killed or fought with the Prophet. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ. And they didn't lose heart with what they suffered. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ. Ibn Jarir uses that, he says, they didn't lose heart with what they suffered of some of them being killed. So he says that's why قُتِلَ is a better recital than قَاتَلَ. I prefer that one. Yeah, it's not saying both are correct actually, both recitals. So there is some variation in some of the words in recital, not in the formation, but how they are pronounced. So the قَاتَلَ, قُتِلَ, it happens in some of the authentic narration of recital. So they didn't lose... They didn't lose heart for what they suffered in the way of Allah. وَمَا دَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. Neither did they become weakened, nor did they become... Istakanu means become debased and humiliated. Yeah, lose all hope. They became so downtrodden. This is Allah SWT saying that for previous prophets and those who fought them. Why do you think Allah is saying that? That's what some of the Sahaba were doing in Uhud. Yeah, they lost all. Some of them got killed, or they thought the Prophet got killed. What did they do? Some of them lost all hope of victory. They became debased and thought, we finished. Allah, I'll give you an example before, that the ones who fought with prophets before from godly people, that's their example you should be following. You don't lose heart. You don't become weak because some of you have got killed. Yeah, and you don't become so demoralized. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. So what's required? Sabr, fortitude, perseverance. So Allah loves those who are full of patience and fortitude and steadfastness here.
وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا.
And their call, their dua, for Allah's teaching those to come, their call from the previous ones was to Allah, قَالُوا إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا, except that they said, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, O our Lord, forgive us our sins, ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا, and our excesses, فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, forgive us our sins and excesses in our affairs, and set our feet firm, وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, and give us help and victory over the rejecting people who are fighting them.
فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
Before Allah said, He loves those who are sabirin, now muhsinin. As Allah SWT says, so for these kind of people, Allah then upon granted them the reward of this world and the best of rewards for the Akhirah. Yeah, which is what we pray for. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنِيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So Allah granted them the reward of dunya in giving them victory and the best of reward of the day, the last day to come, the hereafter. Surely Allah loves those who are doers of good.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in tuti'u alladhina kafaru yaruddukum ala aqabikum fatanqalibu khasirin.
Oh, you who believe, if you follow those who are disbelievers, who deny the truth, they will drive you back on your heels and you will turn about becoming losers. If you follow, this can include munafiqeen. Munafiqeen are disbelievers. If you follow the munafiqs who left, the 300, munafiqs who left, you follow their way, you'll turn back with nothing. You'll be losers like they were.
يَرُدُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ فَتَنْقِلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ بَلِ اللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ النَّاصِرِينَ.
However, Allah is your protector and Lord. مَوْلَاكُمْ. And he is the best of those who are helpers.
سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ بِمَا أَشْرَكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ وَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الظَّالِمِينَ.
So Allah SWT is now giving Bushra, good news for what's to come as well. Allah SWT is giving them good news, saying, surely Allah will cast terror in the hearts of those who are mushriks. Those who associated partners with Allah, for which Allah gave them no authority to do. And their abode will be the fire. What an awful resting place for the doers of wrong.
So Allah SWT is giving Mushra of Rob, Allah will put fear in them, the mushriks, when they come face to face with you.
Allah does that. The Prophet ﷺ said in many authentic chains for this hadith on the lines of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me five virtues which were not given to other prophets and messengers before me. One of them, that he would give me victory and put fear in the hearts of the enemy for 1 month distance. That's 1 month of travel around him. Yeah, that's one of his virtues, he said. Allah SWT gave me, in one riwayah, he said, he gave me five virtues what other prophets weren't given. One was putting ru'b, terror, in the enemies around him for a distance of a month and give me victory over them. Allah SWT, he said, second, he made wa ju'ilat li al-ard Masjidan wa tahura. And he made for me, and in one riwayah, and for my ummah, the whole of the earth as a masjid and thing to purify with. So wherever a believer finds themselves, we can pray. Because the whole of the world has been made a masjid for believers. It was given to the Prophet ﷺ, especially for his ummah. And the fact that we can use, even if water's not there, we can do tayammum. So that's the second virtue was given, not given to the prophets. The third, that Allah SWT allowed ghanima from battle, booty. Allah SWT allowed the messenger to take from that as well. And other prophets weren't allowed before. And the fourth, that Allah SWT sent other prophets and rusul to their qawm. Khassa. He sent them to their people only. He said, لَكِنْ بُعِثْتُ لِلنَّاسِ كَافَّةً أو بُعِثْتُ إِلَى الْأَحْمَرْ وَالْأَسْوَدْ. In another riwayah. These are authentic reports and hadith. And I was raised up and sent to the whole of humanity. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or I was sent to the red and the black. He means black and white. To all colors. I was sent to all humanity. In Arabic, when they use black and white, they don't use the word black and white people. They say in Arabic, red and black. Okay, red and black, which means all human beings. That's the expression used. So that's the fourth thing. The fifth thing, that I've been given the shafa'ah, the intercession on the day of judgment.
I'll be given the intercession. And in one report he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that all prophets and messengers were given intercession, a dua. They all used theirs in this world. I kept mine behind till the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this is other hadith that mention about this. One of the things is the rawb, the fear, the terror was put in them for their disbelief. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. You tell me what this is in relation to. Allah surely fulfilled His promise of success. Yeah, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. His promise He fulfilled. For إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ. When you were slaying them by His leave, until the moment when you flagged and failed and quarreled among yourselves about the matter and disobeyed. Meaning disobeyed the Prophet. Yeah. After He showed you what you intensely desire. For some of you sought this world. What's this in relation to?
When they were standing on the upper side, they were trying to get the Imaya'imah.
Yeah, the archers it's talking about. What was happening at the beginning? Allah said, Allah fulfilled His promise to you when you were slaying them. So what was happening at the beginning of the battle? Who was winning? They started running. It's finished. Yeah. Then He says, you flinched. And what made them flinch and disobey? Allah saying, فَقَدْ أَسَيْتُمْ. You disobeyed. In the plural, you disobeyed. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. After Allah showed you what you love and desire. Dunya. Sahaba we're talking about. Yeah. So Allah showing him why you failed. This is why you failed. This is why you failed. أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Talking about Sahaba. From amongst those, there are those who desire the dunya more. And those are from amongst you, those who desire the Akhirah. But you see that Allah forgave them all, you know. In these ayah, Allah forgave them all. Even those who stayed behind. Yeah? Don't think also, it's common in Seerah when you read Abdullah ibn Ubay, 300 going behind, we say the hypocrites went behind. Did they stay hypocrites, all the 300? Did those 300 stay hypocrites? We have no evidence for that. Very unlikely. The reason why we think they stayed hypocrites is because Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul stayed a hypocrite. Doesn't mean to say all they stayed hypocrite, because Allah actually forgave those, even those who went behind and those who didn't come to fight, and those who flinched and those who disobeyed. All of them were forgiven. Yeah? It's just that Abdullah ibn Ubay didn't change his stance. But many of those who went with him, amongst them were believers. It's what they did is described as hypocrisy. Because when it came to the crunch, they disobeyed Allah and His Messenger. So their behavior was hypocritical. Yeah, but they could be believers afterwards and asking forgiveness from Allah and His Messenger, which is most likely what happened. So here, those who are desiring the dunya, those who were desiring the akhirah at the time. Both companies were there in the battle. This is not those who've gone back. This is those who fought at Uhud. Both groups are there. ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ. Yeah, Allah SWT said, then, in order to put you to test, He turned you away from your foes. وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. Yeah, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. Still, surely Allah has pardoned you for that. وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. Allah's overlooked, pardoned you. You've been pardoned. SubhanAllah. Allah is merciful. And they were amazing people. Were they not? Despite that. What we'd have been like. Yeah. Despite that. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. SubhanAllah. Surely Allah is full of bounty for the believers. We just have to believe and turn to Him. Allah gives us so much forgiveness, forgiveness again and again of His mercy and forgiveness. For He's Ghafoor Rahim. Wallahu Dhul Fadlin ala al-Mu'mineen.
إِذْ تُصْعِدُونَ وَلَا تَلْوُونَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ فِي أُخْرَاكُمْ. Recall when you were fleeing without casting even a side glance at anyone, and the messenger was calling out from behind you.
When was that?
Uhud again. What happened? Those who were here last week. When the battle turned and they got attacked from the back and the front. Yeah, some Sahaba running up the mountain, others in the other direction. And who was calling them from behind? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's calling them, come to me, O believers. Yeah? And he stood his ground, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stood his ground with a handful around him. Remember we mentioned last time? Yeah. Nine people. And they gave their life one after the other, the Ansar amongst the nine. Until only two were left. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Talha. Talha ibn Ubaidillah from the Muhajireen, who were defending to Allah. And then other Sahaba came later, after it whittled down to just these two. And the Prophet ﷺ, that's the time when he got injured. So this is disarray, and they're running. Yeah, and the Prophet ﷺ calling, this is Sahaba. And Allah saying, you showed your back, you were going the other direction. You were going in the other. Remember that? Allah is reminding them.
فَأَثَابَكُمْ غَمًّا بِغَمٍّ لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا مَا أَصَابَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ.
Then Allah inflicted upon you grief after grief during that battle. They were being attacked this way, that way, and they lost so many lives. Yeah? Grief upon you, so as to instruct you neither to grieve for the losses. What did they lose in wealth wise? The booty that they were after. Yeah? Allah saying, we taught you a lesson so that you could realize that it's not these goods that you need to grieve over. Yeah? So that neither to grieve for the losses you might suffer, or for the afflictions that might befall you. Yeah. The first part is the losses, which is the material thing. And wala ma asabakum, that which inflicts you, which is injury, harm to the messenger, and the killing of so many martyrs. But you still don't grieve. Wallahu khabirun bima ta'malun. Surely Allah is fully aware, completely, to the exaggerated, really aware of all that you do, all that you did then, or all that you're doing, whenever you're doing it.
ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا يَغْشَى طَائِفَةً مِّنكُمْ.
So this is in the Quran, and I didn't mention it last time, it's in Hadith as well, confirming that, especially many chains from Hadith of various companions, and linking back to Abu Talha. Abu Talha is one of the ones who was a great archer, who was one of the final ones defending the Prophet ﷺ, who was the father, the stepfather of Anas, the husband of Sulaim, yeah, no less. So he says that after the battle of Finish, and that's how we understand it, they,
and nu'as, a drowsiness came, a sleep overcame them. He said, we couldn't hold our sword, we kept picking them up, and they kept falling out of our hands because we kept falling asleep. Yeah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them before Badr the day sleep. That's to give them calmness and peace. Yeah? To give them strength. So that's what happened here. But it happened not during the battle, it's when they've gone away from the battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it here. Then, after all that inflicting of harm and pain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, He sent down a drowsiness, an inner peace, a sleep, which overtook some of you. Which overtook some of you, not all of them.
However, a
majority of them, وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. And another party, those who were concerned merely with themselves, talking to Sahabas when Allah's criticizing them strongly. You know, talking to disbelievers here, talking to Sahaba. No, but there were others amongst you who were concerned more with themselves. They were entertaining false notions about Allah. What notions? Notions from the age of ignorance, from Jahiliyyah times. And what were those notions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. They were saying, we don't really have any power in decisions. Yeah? Everything rests with Allah. What they mean is, we are jabbar. We, you know, might as well not do anything because everything just happens, whatever happens. Jahili idea was that we are, remember the jahil, one of the things Quran says that they used to say, we are mushriks because Allah made us mushrik. If Allah wanted us not to be mushrik, we won't be mushrik. Our forefathers were like that because Allah makes us like that. So they're saying the same jahili idea here. Yeah. In other words, no point fighting, because Allah decides anyway. It's nothing to do with whether we fight or whether we're strong or whether we have iman or not. That's what they were thinking. That's why Allah calls it jahili notions. And then means قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. First Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, truly all the power of decisions rests solely with Allah. It is true, because in the end it does, but it doesn't mean to say you don't play a part in it. Well, I started to show them the failure was, he's just described in the verses what they did. Yes? But everything goes back to Allah, it's true. But you don't think that I'm just going to fold my arms, I don't need to do anything, everything will just happen by the will of Allah. That's not your understanding, that's jahli understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يُخْفُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا لَا يُبْدُونَ لَكَ يَقُولُونَ لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ مَا قُتِلْنَا هَاهُنَا قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Indeed, Allah says, they conceal in their hearts what they don't want to reveal. Yeah, to you. What they're saying in their hearts, Allah's revealing now. Yeah? What they're saying in their hearts, if we had any power of decision making, we would not have been slain here. If we had any power, we wouldn't have been killed here. Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, He says, say, even if you had been in your homes, those for whom slaying or being killed had been written and appointed would have gone forth to the places where they were to be killed. So don't think it's like that. Yeah, it would have been. It would have happened. You don't think you can control it by saying, oh well, if we'd stayed at home we wouldn't have been killed, as Munafiqs were saying to them as well, as you'll see. If you'd stayed at home you wouldn't have been killed. So Allah's saying, if your time had come, yeah, you would have come out and gone to those places to be killed if it's written by Allah for you that to happen. Yeah, it depends on what you're going to do. That's going to matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on. All this happened so that Allah might test the thoughts you entertained in your hearts. Subhanallah. Allah's testing what's, He knows what's inside some of them, all of them, but or these kind of thoughts. And purge your hearts. So Allah wants to cleanse them of these thoughts. So Allah wanted to purge your hearts of all the impurities. Allah knows well what is in the hearts of people. Allahu alim bi zati sudur.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا وَلَقَدْ عَفَا اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ.
Surely those who turned their backs on the day of Uhud, when the two armies met, did so because Shaitan made them slip because of some of their lapses. But Allah has pardoned them. He is all forgiving, all merciful, all forbearing.
This is again. Allah SWT saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ إِذَا ضَرَبُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ كَانُوا غُزًّا لَوْ كَانُوا عِنْدَنَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا لِيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ حَسْرَةً فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ.
O believers, do not be like those who disbelieved, talking about munafiqs now, yeah, and said to their fellows from Medina who came suffering because they lost family or they were injured. So now when they got back, they're saying, in the course of the journey of fighting, had they remained with us, they would not have died or been slain. Had they stayed in Medina with us, they would not died and been slain. So they're now making them feel bad by putting nifaq in them, hypocrisy. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ made them get slain by taking them out. Allah makes such thoughts the cause of deep regret in their hearts. For in truth, it is Allah alone who gives life and gives death. Not that they're not going to protect you. But if they stayed with us, we can, you know, they won't have died. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Surely Allah is all seeing in what they do. And Allah SWT is saying, وَلَا إِن قُتِلْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُتْتُمْ لَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. If you were to be slain or die in the way of Allah, then surely Allah's forgiveness and mercy are better than all the goods that these people are amassing. So there's dunya and there's akhirah, what reality is in the way of Allah. And Allah SWT says, وَلَئِن مُتْتُمْ أَوْ قُتِلْتُمْ لَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Were you to die or to be slain, it is surely to Allah that all of you will be gathered together. And this verse I want to mention, we're running out of time, it's so beautiful. Allah SWT, it carries on. To about 170 odd the ayat, it talks about later about those who don't think of those who were killed in the way of Allah as dead, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ, but they're alive with their Lord, being nourished. And as the hadith mentioned, the soul of martyrs is in the gullet of green birds of paradise, and they're in paradise, the green birds flying around, and they're being nourished through them, their souls are there. Alive in that sense. But here Allah SWT mentions, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah SWT says, it was because of the mercy of Allah, thanks to Prophet Muhammad SAW, that you were lenient with them. Lenient after what? This is after the Battle of Uhud. And what the Sahaba, those who did the disobedience and all the things they had done, run away from me, He's saying it's a mercy of Allah that after that you were still lenient with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ Had you been hard-hearted, yeah? Had you been rough and harsh or hard-hearted with them, لَنْفَدُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ They would have run away from you in all directions. Yeah. This came after Uhud, no less. And you know what happened at Uhud that we explained. So here, Prophet ﷺ still being gentle. So what Allah is saying to him? To the Messenger of Allah, which are lessons for us about when believers fail, when they make mistakes, how we're supposed to be, not judgmental and shove them in the fire and throw them, but the Prophet ﷺ, فَعَفُوا عَنْهُمْ So pardon them, overlook their mistake. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ Ask forgiveness for them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ And continue to take shura from them. Why is that mentioned there? Specifically after Uhud. What's in the story? Before the battle. He took shura from them, remember? Shura when he took, their opinion was not the opinion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah? So, some leader, some of us may say, oh, I listened to you lot before, look what happened. I'm not listening to you again, I'll follow my opinion. So Prophet's been told, still take shura with them. Yeah. Still use that as a way to decide. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرُ And use that method. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ And when you made a firm decision, then trust in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ Surely Allah loves those who trust and rely only on Him. Time, we've really gone up. I just want to finish off with, last time I mentioned, that at the end, the Prophet ﷺ, remember I said, the Sahaba said in one hadith, we're tired, Ya Rasulullah, injured, how are we going to bury all these companions of ours, 70? So the Prophet ﷺ said, make the grave that we dig a bit deeper and bury them in twos and threes, not just twos and threes. And put the one who has most Quran, if we know, in first and the others after. Yes? And in a few ahadith, authentic came, I mentioned it to you last time, they weren't washed. The kafan were the clothes they were in. Prophet ﷺ, bury them as they are, and their wounds will be witness for them on the day of judgment. And smell of musk. And no salah was done on them. Yeah. This is the opinion of majority. Imam Tahawi, for completion about shuhada and whether salah is done on them, there's no difference about ghusl and about kafan on them. There's no need for kafan and no need for ghusl for shuhada in battle. And also practically it's made easy because you're in battle, yeah. The enemy could come, you're already injured, you're suffering, you're not going to start washing all the bodies and looking for kafan and cloth, you're on the battleground, you're going to bury them there. So it's to be made easy for that situation as well, yeah. Imam Tahawi mentioned a hadith in which he says that there was Salatul Janazah done. And Sahaba were brought in tens and Hamza's body was there consistently. So they were brought in tens and the Prophet ﷺ did Salatul Janazah 10 at a time with Hamza being there consistently. So that hadith says that, in other words, Salatul Janazah was done on Hamza seven times because tens and tens, there were 70 killed. Some of the ulama, like Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi, who is Hanbali, and one of the opinions of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, actually, from the founder of the Hanbali school. So Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Hazm al-Zahri, the great Ibn Hazm, their opinion is that you have a choice for shuhada. You can do Salatul Janazah. They say, if we bring all the ahadith together, even though the majority say there was no Salatul Janazah, yeah, but we also have an authentic one. About the one in Tahawi, some difference of opinion. Is it authentic that the Prophet ﷺ actually did Salatul Janazah at Uhud or not? Yeah? Some reject it. And there is some issue with it. Although Hanafiya accept it, because Tahawi was Hanafi in the end. But the other hadith I mentioned from Uqba, which is authentic, remember I said that the Prophet ﷺ in the 8th year of Hijrah, so a couple of years before he left the world, came to Uhud and offer Salatul Janazah. Yeah, and Uqba says, as if he was saying goodbye to them before leaving the world. Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything. Uqba's interpretation is that. That is authentic. Yeah, that he came later. So bringing all of those hadith together, Ibn Hazm, one of the opinions of Ahmad, and Ibn al-Qayyim, for example, they say, you have a choice. Do it, it's fine. Don't do it, it's also fine. Imam Shafi'i and the Shafi'iyah took the view, and same as one of the opinions of Ahmad, because Ahmad doesn't have one opinion, so often has two or three opinions. So one of his opinions, depending on who's reporting it from him, is in agreement with Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i says, we have strong hadith, mutawatir, yeah, which make it very clear against this questionable hadith of Tahawi, which is reported by Tahawi, doesn't say Tahawi, this questionable hadith, that there was definitely no Salatul Janazah for those who are shuhada. And it is wajib not to do the Salatul Janazah for him. That's his strong opinion in that. He's very critical of those who say you can or you should. Hanafiya go the opposite to Imam Shafi'iyah. They say you have to do Salatul Janazah on even shuhada. And they take the hadith that I mentioned. But really, the best opinion probably is the opinion of near to Ibn al-Qayyim's opinion, having a choice between the two. To say it is wajib to do it, as the Hanafi opinion is ignoring very strong hadith from more than one companion saying there was no Salatul Janazah done by the Prophet ﷺ. So you can't do that. Yeah? But what I said to you last time, the reality is we can even leave that, especially for the Sahaba at Uhud, because they were Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ counted them as shuhada. Now when in our times, after that, with no wahi, when believers die in battle, we don't know who's shaheed and who's not doing. We know about them. How do we know? Because Prophet ﷺ told us. But for the rest, we don't know if they really are shuhada. So in that situation, it's best to follow the original, which is to do Salatul Janazah. So that's how I would see it. That is it. Inshallah, we'll carry on next time. Beyond Ghazwatul Uhud. And still there was a few ayahs, but we spent a long time on it. I hope you found it beneficial. I found it very beneficial. Reflecting on those ayat in regards to Ghazwatul Uhud. May Allah SWT accept and forgive us. And may Allah reward you for your patience and sitting all that time. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله